Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? By the way, the last segment was sponsored by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises. Good morning to YouTube, Twitch, the Xfinity Mobile Text Line. Let's get back into the dubs and say good morning to all the strippers, the baby mamas, the baby daddies, the longshoremen. Water departments, both San Francisco and Daly City. Big time, big time. By the way, some big coaching news. FDU wins as a 16 seed. Iona wants to go get Tobin Anderson. He was a finalist for that job.
Huh?
Top target.
Who?
Yeah, I know.
What?
Tobin Anderson. Also, Rick Pitino going to St. John's. St. John's.
The vampire.
Pitino's back in the game.
Of course he is. He was like, oh, the NIL is more scummier than I am. I'm back.
Back in Manhattan, back in the big time.
And if, by the way, if you're outraged by Pitino getting back in, like, look around the sports. I mean, come on. You know how this works.
Right, let's get to Chuck Cooperstein.
If you can recruit, right. I can look the other way.
Let's get to Chuck Cooperstein, voice of the Dallas Mavericks. We've had him on before. And look, it's a big game tomorrow night. Warriors at 37-36. Mavericks at 36-36. Both teams 4-6 in their last 10. Warriors coming off a lackluster win over the Houston Rockets. Mavericks losing a tough one to the Memphis Grizzlies. Chuck, good morning. What is happening? Welcome back to the roast.
Morning to y'all. A lot earlier out there than it is here.
No doubt about it. 8 o'clock. We get up early out here, Chuck. The sun's not even up yet. So what about Kyrie Irving? Let's start there with Kyrie and Luka. Kyrie left the game yesterday, I guess, or he left the stadium, FedEx Forum, with a walking boot on. What's going on with Kyrie Irving and his injury?
Well, he's had this injury. It's the injury that forced him to miss 3 games before the Laker game last Friday. And he and Dylan Brooks got tangled up last night. Shock on shock. But really, this was not anything untoward by Brooks. It was just something that happened during natural play. And Kyrie tried to play through it in the fourth quarter. You could tell even when he got hurt in the third that he had limped to the bench and it didn't look really good. But, these are the times that try mend souls, and you've got to go out there and try to win games, as many games as you can. And Kyrie has been the best fourth quarter player in the NBA, and the Mavericks obviously had a big lead going to the fourth, and they wanted to be able to salt it away, but he didn't move real well, and he didn't make a shot in the fourth quarter. The Mavericks only made 3 as a team, and they got caught and passed, and so now we'll see. I mean, the boot is a precaution. I think Kyrie very much wants to play, and we'll see if he does. They certainly need him.
Yeah, so 12 points in that fourth quarter, Shaz.
The irony, we just had like a half an hour conversation about why the NBA is obsessed with all the stuff that's not the actual playing of the games. And now I'm going to ask you about something that happened after the game. What happened with the jersey swap between Dylan Brooks and Kyrie Irving?
I didn't see it. Can't tell you.
Oh, no idea, huh?
Nope.
Oh, wow. So you think Kyrie's going to play then tomorrow?
I have no idea.
I think he very much
wants to. I don't think he's looking to ask out. Kyrie certainly has had his issues, and they've been well documented, and indeed the criticism at times has been very well justified, but he has been a model player since he's been with the Mavericks, and sure, there are reasons for that, not the least of which is he's playing for his contract, and he's got to make sure that he's doing everything the right way, and he is doing everything the right way. If he can go at all, I think he will go tomorrow. As far as Luka, they've tried to, they're doing more stuff with him. He did a lot of post shoot around stuff the last 2 games with the Lakers and last night in Memphis. And they're hoping that he can go. I mean, the fact that they actually called him questionable before ruling him out yesterday is a good sign. But we'll see if 2 more days makes the difference. From the Mavericks' standpoint, I'm sure they're hoping that it does, because let's face it. I mean, this game I don't know how the Warriors look at this, but I know from the Mavericks' standpoint, given tiebreakers and whatnot, it's absolutely essential because this is the only other game that these teams will play. It's a 1-1 season series, and the tiebreaker could really be the difference between making the top 6 and having to play in the play-in.
Hey, Chuck Cooperstein here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 game, voice of the Dallas Mavericks, of course. So Luka left that game March 8th against the Pelicans with a left thigh bruise. Anything else? Because it felt like he was laboring for the previous 2 weeks before that injury he suffered, where he left that Pelicans game down in New Orleans.
none that we know of, other than just the normal punishment that he takes. Mm. And he does take a bunch of it, but he's he's incredibly tough. I mean, look, you know, he tried to play on the second night of the back to back when he got hurt, or at least certainly finally asked out against New Orleans, which he had not played on the second of a back to back since early December. So, you know, I think he certainly understood the importance of trying to win that game, and especially again, you know, they just come off a win at home against Utah to end what had been a very disappointing 3-3 homestand, and it just didn't work. And it's, you know, it's been kind of the story of the Mavericks all season. It's been one step forward and one step back, and you know, when you do that, that you're a 500 team. That's what they are right now.
Yeah, yeah. How are they viewing the Warriors right now? Because I think a lot of people and Warrior fans are like, oh boy, but they're still champions, right? Like, so it's very, very difficult to assess them. How do you think Dallas or you would assess them going into this game?
The Warriors?
Yeah. How do you view them right now? Are they wounded? Are they a team that you want to take out? Or do you still think that they have championship aspirations?
Well, you definitely want to take them out, but I don't think they can win a championship. In fact, I'd be surprised if they even got to the conference finals. I mean, they don't play defense.
Yeah.
And that has been, you know, that's been the secret sauce to the Warriors for their championship run. I mean, everybody loves the offense. It's so pretty, and they, you know, make so many passes, and they shoot it great and all that stuff. But they are able to do all that stuff still while turning it over at a ridiculous clip. I mean, they're second last in the league in turnovers. Only Houston turns it over more than they do.
Yeah, you know,
and the only way you can overcome giving up extra possessions is to get stops. And they have always been able to get stops. They've always been a top five level defense in their championship years. Mm. They are hardly that this year. They're middle of the pack, means that they're pretty ordinary, which means their record is what it is, as Bill Parcells would say, right? Your record is you are what your record says you
absolutely
are.
And,
you know what, Chuck, though? I'm looking at the turnovers, and they committed 20 yesterday to a bad Houston Rockets team. They've always been a high turnover team, even during the championship years. But it feels like this year, the timing of the turnovers, where you mentioned defensively, they're not as good. They can't overcome that. But if they get wholesome, you don't think none of these teams in the Western Conference will see the Warriors in a seven-game series and say, boy, they are the champs. They're wholesome now. We know if any team is capable of doing it, and that's flipping the switch, they are capable of doing it. You don't think no team fears that?
I think teams will respect them. I don't think teams fear them.
Gotcha.
I just don't see it. I mean, just, you know, again, you play the entire season, and this is 2022, 2023. It's not 2016 or 2018, you know, anymore. Mm. And these guys are older. There are no more back-to-backs to worry about and things like that. I mean, look, they're like everybody else in the Western Conference. Everybody has flaws. The question is who can mask their flaws better? And the Warriors this year, to me, have had a harder time masking their flaws than most. So, you know, so we'll see. But, you know, listen, I love, you know, who doesn't love watching Curry play and having him go off and, you know, see what he's capable of? He's on an incredible run right now since he came back. Clay's playing great. Looney's been terrific. I mean, Looney's probably had his best year as a pro. But, you know, Jordan Poole's been terrible. DiVincenzo's been a nice addition. But again,
what about Draymond Green?
They're so small, and they play small, that ultimately, in a seven-game series, I think they get beat up. I mean, I don't see them winning a championship, and I really don't see them getting to the conference finals at all.
Before we get you out, what's your thoughts on Draymond Green? Because you mentioned the roster there. What's your perception of Draymond Green this season on and off the floor?
I mean, he's probably slipped a little bit. I'm not around the team, but I still have to wonder how much of an effect the Draymond Green punch of Jordan Poole's had on this team emotionally. He's still a really terrific, connective player. But is he difference making? Is he the guy that you're going to put on someone and totally shut them down? He's not that player anymore. But he's a good player, And I think maybe that's the story of the Warriors. The Warriors, I mean, they still have very good players, but they're not at the level that they were. And I realize that, a lot of times it's very hard for fans and media to accept. But, hey, Father Time has never lost.
All right, Chuck. Have a good call tomorrow.
Great candor, Chuck.
Should be a lot of fun tomorrow down. What do they call it? AAA, American Airlines Arena down there in Dallas in the Metroplex?
No, it's the American Airlines Center. The American Airlines Arena was in Miami.
Now it's
the spray painted jerseys that say Mavs. Like they kind of have like that 90s Mavs colorway, the blue and the green. And
the Rolando Blackman uniforms.
I really like those jerseys. Those are really sharp.
They're fantastic. They're far and away the best city edition jerseys the Mavericks have ever had.
Totally.
Not even close.
All right, Chuck. Have a good call tomorrow.
All right, take care.
Chuck Cooperstein, straight shooter, voice of the Dallas Mavericks. A little spicy there. How much do you want to beat the Mavs tomorrow now?
Well, I kind of
want... I want the Warriors to kick their ass tomorrow now. I want the Warriors to beat their ass by 20.
You mad at Chuck?
I ain't mad at Chuck. He's just a little cocky. Oh, the Warriors aren't getting to the conference final.
The Dylan Brooks jersey thing. I don't know. Didn't see it. I was like, he absolutely saw it.
Yeah, you saw it.
You know what? Maybe it was an unfair question on my behalf.
No, it's not unfair.
Not even close. You just asked what happened.
Right. Well, by the way, how funny was that?
I kind of want to hear it back. Right. How quickly I pivoted.
Right. And then with Kyrie Irving was like, yeah, I'm good off that jersey, homie.
That was great.
I'm not hanging your jersey up.
See, I have a really hard problem right now. Like, when my wife gets mad at me, I don't know how to say no to people.
Right.
And I say yes to too many things and I overcommit. And so, like, I kind of respect Kyrie because I need to figure that out in my life as well.
Yeah, dude.
Respectfully say no.
Yeah. Kyrie was like, yeah, I'm good. And Dylan Brooks is walking off the floor with two jerseys. By the way, Dylan Brooks says something. We'll play it. I don't know if we should play it. He's talking about Kyrie. He's like, yeah, you know, he's like Kobe and Jordan, man. He just changes his pace, and he's really tough to guard. He actually complimented Kyrie Irving after talking trash about him a week before.
I think we need more Dylan Brooks in our life. I'm enjoying
it. Did you see the outfit he had on yesterday?
It's hilarious.
The choker chain.
Of course.
With the tattoos showing.
He knows what he's doing. Now it's a bit.
I need Warriors Grizzlies in a second round again. I need
On their way to another conference finals?
I need that in my life. I need the Warriors Sacramento first round. Because now Sacramento fans start. Kitty Caraway's now. You know, I love you, Kitty.
I told you.
But now he's getting a little arrogant. He's feeling himself. And him and D-Lo, they're taking all the photos. They're doing photo shoots all the time. I love you guys. But you know what? We're getting a little too arrogant.
Yeah, count their eggs before they hatch.
Clay Thompson threw the four up at Dylan Brooks. And he, oh, man, that's mad corny. And I'm like, was it corny when Kobe did it? They were getting rolled in Dallas. And Kobe had to remind somebody. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's right, 5.
Yeah, but if De'Aaron Fox is putting up the 0, you know, for the entire Sacramento Kings franchise.
So I need Sacramento in the first round.
Uh-huh.
I need the Warriors to get together. Now, you need Wiggins and you need Gary Payton a second back, at least, bare minimum.
It feels like GB2 is coming back.
It does.
Don't know about Wiggs.
Get Wiggs back.
Boy, they can use
him. Give me Sacramento. Because I was watching Harrison Barnes last night, late in the game against the Utah Jazz. Wide open quarter threes to get to tie the game up. Brick. Same OHB. Brick. Do we need to remind Sacramento fans that, hey, Harrison Barnes in 2016, last three games, NBA Finals, 5-32. 5-32. He went scoreless in game 6. Scoreless. So
he's the Felix Rodriguez of the Warriors?
I mean, he's the Sacramento Kings.
Warriors. What I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he went 5-32. Warriors get Kevin Durant. So thanks. And thanks, I guess. You said HB. So, take care of Sacramento in the first round, because now I want Sacramento.
I remember Timberlake's favorite call. One of my favorite calls of all time. The Black Falcon flies high for the jam. When he was 20 years old, he scored 20 points.
Wow.
You guys don't remember that?
No, I do remember that.
He used to call him the Black Falcon.
Yeah, they still call him Black Falcon.
I love that nickname.
So, Barnes is Brick City. Warriors take care of the Kings
Barnes
in the first round.
Barnes is Brick City.
Take care of the Kings in the first round. Take care of them in 6. Humble those dudes. And then all of a sudden, Kings fans are going to say, the Warriors and Kings are rivalries.
Can I ask a question?
It's a rivalry. Take care of the Grizzlies, because I need Dylan Brooks back in my life. I need to humble him again.
Klay Thompson on the bench doing the 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Why is that corny? No, I'm asking sincerely. Don't you play sports to win it all so that you can have the upper hand and talk smack?
Not only that.
Like, isn't that part of it?
Not only that. You guys say you want more trash talk in your league, so Dylan Brooks is talking trash to Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And Klay Thompson should remind him, hey, yo. I'm a 4-time champ, homie.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
And I beat
from both sides.
I beat you last year on my way to a fourth championship.
Yeah.
We went through you guys when you had home court advantage to win that fourth championship.
What's the point of having FU money if you never say FU?
Right.
Right? So, like, now, right now, Clay's got FU money. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. I apologize if I'm not. But, like, what's the point of, like, not having fun with it?
It's a little petty, but didn't Stephen Curry say he's the petty king?
Yeah. Petty, come on. LeBron is the most petty guy of all time.
They threw a concert and a Halloween party. With 3-1 on the drums.
Exactly.
With Halloween cookies that say, rest in peace to Steph and Clay. That's what we do.
It's sports.
That's what we like.
Isn't it supposed to be fun?
We need more of that.
You got to have irrational confidence.
Now, some people took Steph Curry's facial expression later on the bench, shaking his head, that he was embarrassed about Klay Thompson doing that.
I think it was more losing.
Hey, I don't think. Clay, I think Steph is like, yeah, remind Dylan Brunson.
I think we underestimate the confidence level of a professional athlete.
And especially a four-time champ.
Yeah, exactly.
The Golden State Warriors.
Exactly.
They're
confident. I just don't understand who's getting hurt by them having a little like smack talk back and forth.
Right.
How is this ruining anything? We celebrate Puig and Madison Bumgarner going at it. We can't celebrate Clay and Dylan Brooks going at it. I don't understand who's upset over that.
Now, this can help the NBA in terms of ratings. We don't need guys giving each... Like Kyrie Irving not saying, yeah, Dylan Brooks, I don't want your
jersey.
That's
funny.
That's funny and good.
I agree.
I'm good off your jersey. I'm not taking a photo with you holding up your jersey. I'm straight, homie. Dylan Brooks talking left and right, talking about I own real estate in San Francisco. Great. He's made himself the villain. Awesome. We all know when it comes to the playoffs, hey, Dylan Brooks, we're going to let you shoot. Please make them. We're going to dare you to make those shots. Are you going to make them? I don't know.
As we like say that we can't stand, you know, the way the NBA is presented, I'm sure you heard the Kendrick Perkins sound.
No, what'd he say?
Basically ripping Klay Thompson for, you know.
Do we have the sound?
Now they're petty.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, basically saying that the Warriors are petty. But
before we play it, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's signed with the Detroit Lions, 1 year, $8 million deal. He just tweeted, Philly fans call me overrated, LOL. Y'all was just my friend. Laughing emojis, switch-ups. Huh. Philly fans are switch-ups. They are. Screw Philly. Kendrick Perkins. I just wanted to take a shot at Philly. Sorry.
I guess we needed that this segment right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers and the fighting Kay Scott's coming to town Friday night. So
Embiid looks good.
Embiid looks great.
When has Embiid not looked good when he's been like healthy?
So we need them to flame out in the second round and lose the Boston so Embiid can demand a trade and maybe we got action with the Golden State Warriors.
This thing about like
I'm class start that right now, Spadoni.
And pettiness and this, that, and the other. It's like, all right, like
you like that, Spadoni? That's outside the box thinking.
Which
right
help
there.
Does Steph need, really? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. It's the same amount of help as LeBron. What did Kendrick Perkins say? Let's hear.
All right, let's listen to Kendrick Perkins.
And here's the thing: my message to the Golden State Warriors. They need to stop counting those four rings and start competing. Because when we look at them with the matchup with the Memphis Grizzlies, every time they done matched up over the last couple weeks, it's been a spanking. And that's been without Ja Morant. So look, I understand and I respect the championships. You got to respect it, right? You could never take that away from a player or a team or an organization. But at the same time, the game is won between the lines right now. And it's, what are you doing right now? We have seen the back and forth, not only with Klay and Dylan Brooks, but Dylan Brooks and Draymond Green. And so far, the Memphis Grizzlies and Dylan Brooks, they've been talking that talk and walking that walk. So I'm looking at the Golden State Warriors right now, who are horrible on the road. We're coming up into the postseason. They're going to start off their season on the road, and they need to get their act together. But when I look at it right now, the Warriors are the ones that's being petty, especially Klay. If you're going to talk that talk, do something about it. Don't go in there and get a spanking.
All right. Does he not know the season series is tied at 2 games apiece?
No, because he knows the last 2 games the Grizz have won.
Have won. All right. And
that Christmas game feels so long ago.
And the Warriors won that game without? I don't think Andrew Wiggins played.
Curry did not play.
Curry didn't play in that game.
It was Curry.
There you go.
Curry. Because remember, Klay and Dre were
right,
laughing
right,
at
right,
Dylan
right,
Brooks.
Right, right, right. So Curry didn't even play in that game.
Never has an athlete done less and talked more than Kendrick Perkins.
That's where like, our last conversation.
The seventh best player on that Boston Celtics team. You won the one measly ring. Right. You underperformed. Then you got traded to OKC, and you were the reason why they couldn't keep James Harden.
Yeah, they should have amnestied your big ass and kept James Harden. But that's the problem with ESPN right there and there and the presentation of the NBA. This guy has a voice in Kendrick Perkins. Basically said, hey, it's racist on why Jokic is getting the MVP. And he was uninformed. And then when he was wrong, he got mad at J.J. Redick when J.J. Redick started spitting facts at him. So Kendrick Perkins, it's just, that's the problem right there. Why does he have a voice? He did nothing. Remember he took the photo of the Eastern Conference trophy, like he did something. And Draymond Green told him, hey, you're a cheerleader, homie. Keep cheerleading. What about when Stephen Curry looked at his face during the NBA Finals? Stop. Stop. He's too much. Like,
Perkins
he makes
is
no
just a
sense.
Mascot for drama.
He's just a mascot, period, for anything.
But, like, this is the thing that I don't understand, is that we want personality, right? We want to have fun, and I get it. Like, Clay didn't have a great game,
right?
But he's talking smack back and forth with somebody who I believe to be not, maybe not rival, but one of his quote-unquote enemies in Dylan Brooks, and they're talking smack back and forth. Who is being hurt? Like the 12-year-old kids that are watching. No, that's a teachable moment for you as a parent or you as a coach. You can work with those kids. It's okay. Mm-hmm. What? Like, what? We're talking about the regular season not mattering, yeah. And these guys are clearly going at it on the court, and they're not punching each other.
Right.
They're not throwing
trash.
Up gang signs or anything. He's talking about rings that he has.
Right.
Like, I don't see what the big downside is on
right.
this. Like, it's fun. I find this to be fun, playful, like smack talk. It's okay.
And it's a reminder. It's a reminder. Hey, Dylan. You haven't done anything yet. Keep talking about these regular season games.
Clay was phenomenal for 2 months.
Right.
So all these people are like, Clay's had a bad year. No, he has not had a bad year.
He
was phenomenal for 2 months. Was he having a bad night? Absolutely. And of course, the frustration boils over and he does something. You want to say it's classless? I think that's too far of a stretch for me.
Nah,
I think it's fun.
Some people say it was
cringe. Clay's earned the
whatever.
Right.
Whatever. That's what Clay's doing. And when a guy's come back from injuries like that, and people called him washed. And, you know, Memphis is taking a lot of shots at the Warriors. They want it to be a rivalry so damn bad. Now Kings fans want it to be a rivalry so damn bad. It's like, okay.
What are the rivalries in the NBA?
If there is one, it's probably Memphis and the Warriors.
I think it is. I can't really think of maybe Miami
Philly,
versus Boston.
Philly-Boston.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miami-Boston.
That's more the fan bases than it is the teams, wouldn't you agree?
Milwaukee-Boston.
Is that really a rivalry?
I don't know.
I think that's the problem with where the NBA is at. There's just no rivalries.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is guys bouncing around.
And you get the NFL, right? Cowboys, Niners. Chiefs, Bengals. Bengals, Bills now. You know, you have Niners, Packers. Cowboys, Eagles. Niners, Rams. Niners, Hawks. I mean, there's rivalries.
Steelers versus everyone.
I mean, think about baseball. You know, Dodgers, Padres, Giants, Dodgers, Braves, Phillies,
Cubs, Cards.
Those, you know,
but
Cubs,
those are 100-year rivalries.
But even now, like Tampa, Houston, Yankees,
it feels legit. Feels legit.
Tampa Bay,
yeah, feels legit.
You know, it feels legit.
Mets and Braves versus Philly.
Yep.
Yeah, I do think the old school 90s, like Heat Knicks, like as someone's texting in right now, those were great. It feels like we're just so far removed from that.
We are so far removed.
And again, this goes back to the bigger NBA question.
Yeah.
You know, like the NBA is just in a weird spot, man.
No, Perkins is a joke. We'll play more sound from last night. Final thoughts on the Warriors beating the Rockets, snapping at an 11-game road losing streak. 11-game road losing streak. Finally gone. Warriors finally win a game on this 5-game road trip. They're now 1-3. Can they sack it up and win tomorrow? Definitely not going to win tomorrow playing like they did last night. But final thoughts on the Rockets game. Oh, we got Kirby. Oh, we got delivery. No, I don't see that on my room.
I've got a live read
supposed
coming
to be Chassis here. I hit your button on accident, Bonson.
Oh, sorry. Okay, all right. That delivery of the game? Haven't done? No, okay, all right. Let us know about the biggest games and stories in the Bay Area prep scene.
That's embarrassing.
Email us at hss@9570game.com. 9570game.com. hss@9570game.com. Mav Sons, not bad. Be featured on the Prep Rally podcast. First three episodes now available. First three episodes. What's coming up on the game? Sponsored by the law offices of Robert Goldstein. If you have IRS or state tax problems and don't know what to do, contact the law offices of Robert Goldstein, because resolving tax problems is all that they do. Call 1-888-TAX-EXIT. 1-888-TAX-EXIT.
This is Andre Iguodala, and you are listening to The Morning Roast with Vontae and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
Sting.
You forget the sun in his jealous sky.
You know who stung a ball yesterday?
Oh, God.
The entire Japanese team. The WBC game-winning hit, correct? On Japanese radio?
TV, yeah, Japanese TV.
TV. All right, I want to make sure we give credit. Come on, that was fun.
No, the hit and the highlight was great. The song right here?
Makes
me want to walk off set. How sad is that?
Well, not every time.
We're trying to uplift people on a Tuesday morning driving around in this terrible weather. And you guys are playing depressing-ass music, dude. I want to cry.
This song's about love. It shouldn't make you depressed.
Dude, that's just the tone, man. Oh, my God. That's a love song? Jeez. Like, put me in a bad state of mind.
If you're
it's
running,
like the world is ending or something.
Is tonight an indictment of Artie Moreno or what? You got Trout on one side and Ohtani on the other, and you can't even come close to fielding a playoff team if you're the Angels.
Yeah, that's sad.
As the United States is going to face the Japanese baseball team tonight, Japan.
Sasaki.
I am so excited for this.
Dude, I just, gosh, that song just, oh. Like, and we know Lubman right now, our boy Sam Lubman, producer Sam Lubman. Everybody give him some love. He's having a rough morning. And you play that jam?
I actually cheered him up.
No, it didn't.
Loves it.
Miami's got two teams going to the Sweet 16, and the guy's still sad and moping around. You didn't play that jam?
It's all about the you.
Gosh, they beat Indiana twice. The men's team beat Indiana. The women's team beat Indiana.
Is Indiana the new Nebraska of football?
Oh, they're terrible.
When it
they're
comes
so
to
overrated.
Like, they were once great, right. And they have not been in a long time.
Dude, the only thing good about Indiana is those warm-up pants.
Yeah,
red,
those
white.
Cool.
Those
candy
are cool.
Canes, those are cool.
They're a little overrated.
They're cool.
You know, David Bruce always wore them, which, you know, kind of diluted it. But, I mean, damn, Lubman. You got somebody playing that music?
When I
and he's having a down day? I'm telling you, man, I could spend 20 minutes on outside.
Perfect song for the rain outside.
100%.
Gosh. Song.
And that's how I feel right now when I'm finding out that probably our Little League game and softball game will probably get canceled tonight. Again,
students are in the car with their parents.
I'm so sick of the rain.
Students are in the car with their parents thinking, Dad, I'm supposed to feel good about going to class today. No, it's Tuesday, and I'm like, damn, I don't want to go to first period gym. I don't want to go to first period English.
Getting dropped off. That's what I would say.
They got to get dropped off. Jeez, they had probably
I'm
put
getting
the
headphones. Much love from the Xfinity Mobile text line. Bonte, you're hating. This is a great song. Yeah, come on, Bonte. Great song. Was Bonte serious? Well, dude, Sting, come on.
It skipped over to A45, who says Bonte's right. That song sucks.
That's a fake area code. I don't know what that is.
That's no cap 757
yeah,
right there.
That was cap.
I mean, gosh.
650, Sting is one of the most best and intelligent songwriters around.
I agree.
Your knowledge of so many things is pretty absent. Oh, wow.
510, that's a pretty song.
Yeah, your reactions are so laughable. No, my reaction to that love song is that it depressed me. It depressed a lot of people out there. Yeah, a lot of people just can't get to their phones because you know why? We have a lot of responsible drivers who listen to the roast. They know not to text and drive. All right? That's why they're not coming in with the texts. But they share that same empathy with me. They share that same, you know, that vibe. Jeez. World Baseball Classic.
I'm so pumped for this tonight.
USA!
God.
Baseball. Yeah.
Right show, wrong song. See?
Right show, wrong song. That's pretty good.
God, I'm telling you, it put me in a bad. The tone. Was that elevator music?
Got one more rejoin. You better be careful.
Maybe I'll just take a longer bathroom break and just come back and let Shasky over the next segment so I can avoid that.
Like Manny Ramirez, you go into the Fenway wall and not come out?
And not come out. You go hit the vape pit or something.
There is, I was looking at an entire YouTube montage of the funny things Manny Ramirez did.
It's the
best. We miss guys like him in the game.
We need that.
We need him. We need, dude. Rosarena was putting on a show yesterday.
I love him.
Signing autographs between innings and stuff and between pitching changes.
He's in my all-time, like right now, if you're not all-time, my current stat. If you're looking for arm wrestling champions, I think Rosarena is in the list.
He's legit.
Him and the guy Titus Young or Titus O'Neil or whatever his name is for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. The guy whose dad was a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm. Nah, he's legit.
And those Mexican jerseys are sweet. I love the way the M's curved on the hat. It's a really cool hat.
Wow. Man, that song really brought me some positive vibes. Dude.
See?
Can you play it again one more time? One more time, please. Just one more time.
Play it for a little so I can pull it up.
All right. World Baseball Classic.
USA!
Baseball. Baseball.
Wow, that's
baseball.
Here's the walk-off.
The pitch is hit to left center field. Hit very well, and it is off the wall. Ohtani flying around third, right behind him, scoring the winning run. It's a walk-off. Japan will play for the championship.
Now, you compare that to Al Michaels on the Jacksonville Jaguars game-winning touchdown? Night and day. Dave Fleming killed that call. Crushed it.
God, I love
Dave Fleming.
That rally. Coming back from a 3-0 deficit. Then in the deficit in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Did you see Ohtani get to second base before that? Ohtani gets to second base, and he's like, ah!
He's pumped up.
Oh, dude, I was fired so up. Fired up.
He was fired up. And that crowd down there in Miami. Yeah, baseball is alive down in Miami. David Sampson, you almost ruined it.
If you were to bet on the next 5 years, Giannis or Ohtani?
Being a bigger star? Giannis.
I feel like Ohtani's pretty big, dude.
He's big, but we don't talk about him outside of baseball.
Okay.
Like Giannis, all season.
He's bigger than Jokic, right?
Yeah, because Jokic doesn't want to be that big.
Okay. Who else?
Giannis also in the commercials. I see him on Google commercials all the time. He's doing all that sort of stuff.
I don't even think Ohtani's bigger than Embiid. Embiid's had a lot of commercials.
Well, he's had a lot of great commercials, too.
Great commercials. And he's great on Twitter and social media.
Yeah, I think he kind of leans into it. Right. So I agree with that.
Gosh, that's all.
Ohtani, how many extra $100 million did he give himself off this tournament alone?
Well, I think even before the tournament, it just reemphasized that I think the Giants, for me, Sasaki and Ohtani, you need to get him to his point. Well, Ohtani, you need to give him blank check. I swear to God, I pay Ohtani $75 million a year just to bring him to my club.
I'm being real.
Because of the revenue and the jersey sales and what he's going to do for that stadium, what he's going to do for local ratings. If I was the Giants, and Larry Bear, if you're out there listening, because I know you listen to us, not the competition. Larry Bear, give Ohtani $75 million a year.
I agree.
And who cares? Who cares about the backlash? Who cares about the market you set? Give them $75 million a year. You need a star bad.
So I'm coaching 12-year-olds right now, and I like to ask them, like, who's your favorite player? Some kids don't even have a favorite player, which totally fine. You know, they'll go to a different sport or whatever. The majority of kids, when I ask them who their favorite player is, on the Giants in particular, some like the Padres or whatever, who do you think the name is?
For the Giants?
Mm-hmm,
favorite player for the San Francisco Giants.
Yes.
They don't have one.
It's Buster Posey, and he doesn't even play for them anymore.
Oh, gosh.
And a lot of them didn't even see Buster Posey, like, in his actual prime years.
Right. They saw the back end of Buster Posey, which wasn't the prettiest thing.
Now, a lot of these kids, they really, really like, obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. They don't even care about the suspension. Sad. Or they like so Aaron sad. Judge. What?
That's so sad.
It is. So you bring in someone like Ohtani, and I don't want to do this all during the regular season. I want to talk about it now because he's facing tonight against Mike Trout, another great American-born player who's not the face of his league. Like, even though we want to make him he's not the face. He's just not the face of baseball right now. I look at Ohtani and I say to myself, every single kid who plays Little League Baseball right now wants to pitch like Ohtani and hit like Ohtani.
No doubt.
Why are you laughing?
209 Xfinity Mobile text line. I play that love song to my girlfriend. I will be single again like yesterday.
Yeah, but isn't Sting known for his like tantric sex?
Please stop playing that crap. It's sad and depressing. Sounds like someone died. Oh, please stop with the trash too. Someone please take the auxiliary core for Spadoni. I'm telling you, man. I'm the only one feeling like it. By the way, Roki Sasaki, because you are right about Ohtani. Everybody wants to hit like him. They want to pitch like him. I want him on my team.
It's what every kid wants to
do. I would give him $75 million a year if I'm the
Giants. You know how many kids, right? Like, we play, like, the best player plays catcher and pitcher, shortstop and pitcher, you know, center field and pitcher. Like, that's what they all do. They bat third, or they bat second, or they bat leadoff. Everyone wants to be Ohtani. It's... He's one of the most compelling baseball players that I can ever remember.
Do I sound crazy by saying I give him $75 million a year?
No. Think about it. B, you have a little daughter. You have a daughter. Yeah, if you were to buy your daughter her first ever Giants jersey, not a jersey, but
it'd be a custom. Because there's no players on the team I wanted to rock.
That's my point. But if they got Ohtani, you'd get it yesterday.
In a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
She had a posy. She grew out of it.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd buy the Ohtani every single year for her. $75 million. I know people are... Messi was getting over, I think, $100 million. I can't. What was the exact terms? He's getting FC Barcelona basically was like $96 to $106 million given him per season. And it was worth every damn dime. Now, they almost went bankrupt, but now they're back in action. Yes, they're not winning again. I would give Ohtani $75 million a year, knowing that I'm getting a Cy Young Award type of pitcher and an MVP caliber bat. And say, you know what? I'm only getting 20,000. The Warriors are down the street competing for stars. They still have Stephen Curry. They're filling out the building. Yeah, yeah. Nobody's coming down to my yard. Nobody's coming around partying around Oracle Park. I need to get a star player.
And then what you're really getting, like, obviously you're getting the star quality. You're literally getting an ace who's a top five pitcher by the metrics in baseball. Yep. And a top five hitter in baseball.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I mean, right?
I swear to God, I give him $75 million a year. Larry Bear, God. I know you're listening. You always listen. You tell me you do. $75 million.
And you get that international. You finally get that international superstar that we've been trying to get for so long. And you get,
in this market.
We've been dying for
in this market.
Think about what Ichiro did for the Mariners.
Oh, my gosh.
The relevancy and the eyeballs that he gave them. Yep. Julio Rodriguez. I was talking about this yesterday. Like, the Mariners are a really fun, up-and-coming team. You take Julio off that team, you look at that team different.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? Just because they got Julio, you're like, that's one of the fun teams in baseball.
You know what's crazy? And we'll get to Roki Sasaki. We'll get to Roki Sasaki in a second. Because he was throwing 100 miles. He threw 20 fastballs. Dude, he threw 20 fastballs. There was one that was less than 100 miles an hour. He was puffy. Gas.
Yeah, he looked ridiculous.
He looked like Strider.
He made himself
From Atlanta.
He did.
Strider from Atlanta throws a fastball.
Well, I get the Lincecum vibes from Strider.
Dude, he's sick.
I like him.
Striking out 10 in 5 innings like it's nothing. But Ohtani, where's that going here with Ohtani? Oh, the stars. Matt Nahegan. Let's talk to him, our program director here at 95.70 Game. He's like, Matt, man, what's up with the Giants? He goes, my sons, who his sons play baseball.
Mm-hmm. They're Boston big baseball family. Although baseball you wouldn't fans. Be able to tell by the way the little guy's running the bases. That's on Coach. That's on Matt. That's on Big Matt.
Well, that's Hudson.
Got to work on some running.
Honey, how do you get there?
But, you know, it's the Hudson's genetics, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you could only take your skill set so far, right? I mean,
he's injured, too, right now. The boss is hobbling. Oh, well. He's got a big cut on his hand.
How do you boss it get it from their mama?
Oh, that's
There's
obvious.
No doubt. They don't get anything from the knee. Not an ounce of athletic ability. Did he even play sports?
I don't know. But what position would you put him if we had a softball team?
Nahegan?
Yeah.
Third base coach.
No.
First base coach. Because third base, you got to do a little running. First base, just keep it at first base. And just stand there. And try not to get hit by a foul ball.
He would wave his arm and be clock, 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 clock.
Keep going.
So he said, you know, my son Boston loves Julio Rodriguez.
I do too.
He's to the A's game.
He's such a fun player.
I'm trying to decide on my keepers. I have Bobby Witt Jr., Julio Rodriguez, Trey Turner, Ronald Acuña Jr., Fernando Tatis.
What are you, in a four-guy league?
No. 12-team extravaganza. Order today. And I've come in second back-to-back years after finishing first place.
No one
I've
cares.
Had a great 3-year stretch
okay.
with this core group.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Farhan.
So, Boston loves Julio Rodriguez.
As do I. A Wilson glove guy.
Matt Nahegan said, Boston has not one time said, hey, let's go to a Giants game.
And he's a big baseball player.
He'll go to a Cubs game because it's Cubs. But he doesn't want to go to a Giants game. Why? Because the Giants have no stars.
Well, that brings me to Casey Schmidt.
They're not cool enough.
That brings me to Casey Schmidt. the way, now look, Julio Rodriguez is a once in a generation type of a player. At least that's what you believe, right? When he shows up, you're like, whoa, wow. If he's this good for 10 years, they got something unique and special. The way that they looked at Ken Griffey Jr., even though Griffey is just one of the all-time greats. Casey Schmidt has to break camp with this team. I would make him my everyday third baseman right now. The glove is already big league level. The bat will come along. Like Joey Bart. We look back at Joey Bart in the 2020 season. How many people push back on me saying he should just play? There were no minor leagues going on at the time. Do we really believe that the 50 or so at-bats that he took in 2020, do you think that stunted his growth? Do we really think that? You're either good enough or you're not.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you can't go down and work on things if you're not getting everyday at-bats. Like, that's a different conversation. But, like, really? David Villar is going to stunt the growth of Casey Schmidt? Just put him at third base. And if he's good, let's just say he's good and shows a little bit of promise, how different is the vibe around the Giants for every single fan? You have one guy who could be a cornerstone-type player defensively. It changes everything.
Well, you still need to bat. You still, can he hit?
He's raking in spring training.
Okay, so he's raking. If he rakes, and I would just let him, the first 2 months I say, Casey Schmidt, the job is yours. Don't worry about going down.
Yes,
don't worry about Sacramento. Don't even think about Sacramento.
Yeah.
Don't even look at a Rivercats box score. You're playing here for the first 2 months of the season. And that's what should happen.
Well, and here's the other
thing. What should happen. And if he, what will galvanize a fan base? We need a bopper. Offense sales tickets, dude.
But defense as well.
Defense is fine, but we're not paying to go watch Crawford pick it all the time. Well, that gets old.
Well, what makes Nolan Arenado great is he can do both, right? What makes the truly great players is they can do both. Now, I don't know if he's on that level, but I know the glove is dynamic. Look, Brandon Crawford has had a 13-year career. Why? Because he has one of the most dynamic gloves and arms the game's ever seen.
No doubt.
Right? And I'm not saying that flippantly. I mean that sincerely. Like, you don't just play shortstop for 13 years and win a gold glove in your 12th year if you're not special.
Have you ever spent money on a ticket? And maybe you're the wrong guy to ask. Maybe you're the wrong guy to ask for this. But do you spend a ticket for a guy who has a great glove?
Ozzie Smith. Scott Rowland just got in right now.
Matt Chapman. Do we spend money to go watch Matt Chapman pick it
at
third base?
Well, the bat has declined since the hip injury. But he was really good before, like in terms of the bat, before the hip injury.
Well, no, Nolan Arenado comes to town. I'm excited to watch him hit.
Agreed, but he makes sick defensive plays. And in this era where there's going to be a more emphasis on no shift, on no banning of not being allowed to shift, you're going to need more defensive players. Like, I think that there's going to be an emphasis on it.
But if he doesn't hit, Casey Schmidt, if he doesn't hit, then fans would be like, yeah, great with the glove, but he can't bat.
Well, I mean, right now, the third base production.
They need a hitter.
I mean, the third base production, you're looking at about, 15 home runs a year that Longoria's giving you and a 250, 260 average?
Exactly. That's not good enough.
Well, if he can't do that, then it's not good enough. But he fits right in. This is a team that had a 228 batting average as a team last year.
I'm looking at Tyler Miller, Posey and B. Crawl were stars. Posey was a star.
Crawl was not.
Crawl was not a star.
No, he was not.
He was not a star.
No.
He was an eighth hitter.
But he still can go down as one of the great defensive players in Giants history.
He's had clutch hits. But it turns to resonate, though. And if you want to be endearing to the fan base.
Somewhere.
I agree with that, Shasky. I don't think you understand it, though. If you want to be a star here, you better be able to do both.
Well, that's obvious.
Like, I'm looking at Arenado's stats up right now with the hitters.
Yeah.
8-20, .400 average.
In the WBC.
In the WBC, World Baseball Classic.
I mean, he hits 30 every year.
Every year.
I know.
And we know he's got a great glove, but it's like, damn, he can hit.
Yeah, but Nolan Arenado is the gold standard at the position. So, you know, that's a high bar. Right. I mean, that's like someone saying, like, oh, you're a good point guard? Well, look at what Steph Curry's doing. You know what I mean? Not that Arenado is Steph Curry, but, like, Arenado's going to the Hall of Fame as long as he maintains for a couple more years.
Right.
That's how great his numbers have been. Yep. This kid, Casey Schmidt, defensively is just different. And I think that the glove is already there. The bat will come. And from what I've seen thus far with the bat, it's not like he's a 190 hitter.
Well, if the bat comes.
In minor league, he is hit better than Joey Bart.
Okay, so if the bat comes, now we're talking about some star power. We're talking about a potential star. But the bat has to come. That's all I'm saying
is
here.
Is Bregman a star?
Who?
Bregman?
Alex Bregman, absolutely.
You think he's a star?
Absolutely, because of his bat.
I don't know if I'd say Altuve's a star on that team.
Go look at those numbers, man.
I know they're incredible.
Bregman's been awesome.
But I don't think, when we talk about stars, I don't put him in the star category. Yeah. Great player. great player. Bregman is a, and I don't know how many people know, he's third baseman for the Astros, MVP candidate, you know, the last couple of years.
Great player.
It can hit, can run, can throw, can do a little bit of everything. I mean, just a solid all-around player. But, like, if he's that kind of level player, he is an all-star.
Well,
forget being a star.
If Casey Smith is Bregman, you're talking about a guy you could build your roster around.
I totally agree.
You're talking about a 2-3-4 hitter.
But that's what this guy could potentially, even if he's a 5 hitter. Like, even if he's a 5 or a 6 hitter, you can get away with that.
Yeah, you can. So the bat has to come around.
And we don't need him to be.
That's all I'm saying, Shasky. It's if he doesn't hit, sure, you're going to be a great defensive player.
That's obvious.
But you'll be a 7th, 8th hitter, and we're not going to talk about you much.
He retransformed his swing in the minor leagues and has hit at every level. That's why he rose so quickly last year in the system. Whereas a lot of guys in there in the Giants' farm did not hit, he actually did hit. And that's where he made the biggest strides.
Exactly. Well, that's all I'm saying. I want to see him hit. Because Bregman is a cornerstone with the Astros. They let Springer walk.
No doubt. Springer, Correa, too.
Correa, they let him walk.
I know.
Why? Because they had Altuve and they had Alex Bregman.
Well, and
Yordan Alvarez.
And I was going to say, Yordan Alvarez is ridiculous.
And Kyle Tucker was coming
And they
out.
Had Pena coming in through the ranks. Like, they had a lot of stuff. So, look, I'm just saying, I have not been this excited for a prospect in a long, long time for the Giants. And maybe he's just not good enough, and we'll find out. But from the glove, I think the glove is special. And if you have a special glove that puts you in the lineup every day, the bat can come along and I'll grow with the bat. Yeah. Like, did you think that Crawford would have a 13-year career 10 years ago?
Yeah, but they hit him down on the lineup for a long, long time. And they didn't put that pressure on him to be a 5-4-3-2 hitter.
But we don't need we don't need that from him today.
Yeah, but
they've got Conforto and they've got Jock and they've got some other guys. I know. You're rolling your eyes.
Conforto, come on, dude.
But I'm not asking Casey Schmidt to bat 3-4-5 right now. I'm asking him 2 or 6.
But he has to do that.
Well, eventually.
Two hitter is a big spot now. Mike Trout bats second.
Well, Mike Trout's the best player in baseball.
But you're putting your power hitters
in
the two
hole. And they have Ohtani batting third.
A lot of these new analytics are putting their guys in the two spot.
No, I know.
So if you're batting in the two spot.
The Larry Walker.
Yeah, if you're in the two spot, that means you can hit.
Of course.
That means you're one of my best hitters on the team.
Well, and he's one of the few guys that actually can move.
So,
right? Because they have a team of guys that can't run.
So if Casey Schmidt can't hit, he's going to be batting 7.
I'm looking at this
and
team.
And that doesn't get me excited.
He's hitting better than Yaz. He's hitting better than the other outfielders that they have. Named Kapoor. So Van Chaniger's on the DL right now.
So he should bat second.
I don't know what he's going to bat. I got to see what the lineup looks like. Estrada might bat second right now. I don't know what they're... I'm thinking, like, from what I've seen right now, it looks like Conforto's somewhere at the top of the lineup. I think Estrada's going to be somewhere at the top of the lineup. And Jock's probably going to be in the 3-hole.
Where's Casey Smith going
to
be?
I think in the 6-hole to start with.
That's not bad. That's not bad, but eventually, if he wants to be a star and a cornerstone of his franchise, because Posey was the cornerstone. Pence was the cornerstone. I even think Brandon Belt was more of a cornerstone than Brady Crawford.
Well,
Brady Crawford
was an acquisition, but I agree.
But he turned into a cornerstone.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
But when he joined the team, like, they already had established studs. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had those guys. Belt was still in his prime. Posey was still in his prime. And they added him to the mix. And he was absolutely worthy. And Pablo, don't sleep on how good Pablo was.
So, you just made my point.
But you gotta start
somewhere. Carford wasn't that cornerstone. You're hyping up Casey Schmidt these last 2 days.
I'm telling you,
and I hope Casey Schmidt is really, really good. But you're hyping him up like he's the next Nolan Arenado.
No, I'm not. I'm saying
you're hyping him up.
I think his glove is special, and I think the bat will come along.
And as a Giants fan like me, I'm the type of Giants fan who's like, I'm tired of hearing about prospects.
Who was the last prospect that excited you for the Giants? Was it Duffy?
Probably Lincecum. No, but Posey.
Posey?
Man, and that was 13 years ago.
That's my point. So I can't get excited now?
But I'm not saying you can't get excited.
Like, we're talking about Kuminga's potential.
It's not the excitement.
I see so many. I know, but
it's the
Kuminga
hype.
Wiseman had hype.
Well, you see it, though. You see it. They're both balling. Well,
there was a long period where we didn't see a lot from either one of them.
Well,
Casey Schmidt shows some flashes in some games. I can't get excited.
No, I'm not saying anything about your excitement. You're taking it the wrong way. I'm saying the way you're hyping him, I'm expecting this guy to be Nolan Arenado.
Well,
you're hyping this guy up saying
egregious.
He's hitting .414 in spring training. Now, I don't give a damn about spring training numbers. How many times we see spring training numbers get inflated or deflated, or a guy's batting 100? Oh, man, he didn't look good this spring. And then he goes out there and bats 330. during the course of the regular season. Trey Turner, we was having this conversation yesterday. Yeah. Trey Turner hasn't hit a spring training home run in 5 years.
But he's an established stud.
He's got three in the World Baseball Classic.
But those are established studs. When you're a young player...
So miss me with... I can't remember
the last time a young player went into Giants camp and proved it. Okay. It hasn't happened, and that's why this feels different. Right.
Miss me with the numbers. I want to see it.
Well,
and it's not the excitement.
All I have right now are those numbers.
It's not your excitement. It's the hype that he's now receiving. And we've seen hype with a lot of prospects.
Who?
Gary Brown comes to mind. Steven Duggar comes to mind.
Over a decade ago.
Steven Duggar comes to mind.
Gary Brown never batted 400
in training. Steven Duggar comes to mind.
Duggar is
They were hyped up.
But he wasn't this.
Joey Bart, number two overall pick. He was hyped up.
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I think the people that
are... How many times I heard about Tyler Beattie and Ty Block and all those guys?
Well, those guys were all flameouts. I mean, that's...
People were excited about those prospects.
Again... When they drafted them, they were excited. But seeing the actual production of what he's done in the big league camp, right. I think that's the differentiator. Right.
And it's not. It has nothing to do. I'm not killing your excitement. I'm excited to see it now. But I'm saying the hype that everybody's giving this guy. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. Let's see it first. Okay, his glove is great. What can he do at the plate? Can he hit for power?
Well, isn't that...
Because this team needs power hitters.
I mean, like...
This team needs...
But what's what we do in sports? When we see a little something... You and I did a video on Trey Lance off of practice. So I can't get excited off of Casey Schmidt in these real games. But these
I'm not killing you for being excited. I never did that once. I'm saying the hype. Okay, let's see what he does on the big league diamond, and let me see what he does at the plate.
That's
and
fair.
If he doesn't do anything at the plate, then how can he be a star? And if he doesn't do anything at the plate, then he's not going to live up to the hype that you're giving
him. Well,
that's
obvious.
That's all that's
saying. I mean, if Brock Purdy comes back and falls on his face, then he's not going to be a starter.
I'm not killing you for being excited about the kid. Great. We got one prospect to be excited about. At least there's one thing to be excited about with Giants baseball.
And that's how dire
a situation is, which is even... An indictment on the Giants. The fact that we're getting excited about a prospect we just heard about last September.
Look, the most excited people are is to see Sergio Romo get his final pitch against the Oakland A's. Like, that's how dire it is, to your point. And I agree with that. So my point is, I want to see the Giants start with this guy. Let's see some optimism. I think if he showed any promise early on in the season, the entire vibe of the Giants and how we cover them, how we watch them, how we view them would be just totally changed. Right. I think it would just change everything.
All right. I hope so. I really do. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMG, FM, and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game for the best and most up-to-date sports coverage. And that's what happens on the show.
What's that?
I disagree with something, and all of a sudden, I'm the buzzkill. I'm not saying I'm excited about